The main tradition held annually that features cutting off dreadlocks on children as part of the Dieng Culture Festival. They are not ordinary children. They had the dreadlocks after they mysteriously had high fever and their illness was not detected medically. The next day the dreadlocks appears on their head and it can only be cut with a long sequence of rituals, where the whole villagers have their own parts.
Ya, kalau yang minta kan gembelnya ya. Gembelnya kalau orang tua kan kaya itu yang minta apa kentut satu kantong plastik sama telur puyuh satu itu orangnya kaya. Kan disuruh teman-teman minta mobil, minta enggak harusnya minta kentut untuk mainan gini kok. Buat mainan katanya. Heeh, nah, saya sampai kesono dua kali saya tanyain nggak bela-belo itu minta kentut sama ibunya buat mainan gini udah yang minta gembelnya bukan anaknya bukan gembelnya yang minta kalau gembel itu nggak bisa dirubah kan.
Our journey to Dieng Village in Banjarnegara Regency, Central Java, was an unforgettable experience. It took 12 hours from Jakarta until we reached in Dieng. With a scenic winding road with a green potatoes plantation and people residents along, made it worth it. Cold wind welcomed our arrival upon Dieng village. We visited this village to witness a unique annual event. It was the ritual of cutting the dreadlocks of Dieng children, who are called Anak Bajang. But why does cutting dreadlock need a long ritual and involve the whole village?
Karena kalau anak gembel itu kan titipan dari Dewi Roro Runcie dari Samudro.
We believe the dreadlock was a gift from goddess Roro Runcie from Kidul Sea. She gave it to Kiai Agung Kaladete as his apprentice. After the dreadlock is cut, it will be put in a jar. The jar then will be put on river that flows to Kidul Sea. It is like we return the dreadlock to the goddess.
Air yang mengalir ke Samudra Kidul dikembalikan yang menitipi supaya tidak gembel lagi.
For many years, Mbah Sumanto had carried out the dreadlock cutting ritual. The Anak Bajang are believed to be special children of Dian, who bridge our reality and the unseen reality.
Karena filosofinya adalah anak gimbal merupakan titipan yang maha kuasa, di mana orang Dieng mempercayai bahwa yang maha kuasa selalu menitipkan apapun yang dia kehendaki itu pada era saat ini melalui perang.
The philosophy of dreadlock children is that they are gift from God. The young people believes that God always entrusts anything he will through a medium. This medium bridges the seen and the unseen. So, the ritual is simply about respecting the unseen without worshipping them. We also believe our ancestor, Tumenggung Kolodete, also did the ritual. He kept his child's dreadlock and then let the dreadlock flows into the Southern Sea. It is because the past believed that the hair also belongs to the god. The Javanese must have goodwill and ethics. If something was entrusted to us through the medium, we should return it through the medium too. It is to avoid miscommunication and to appreciate the medium too.
Harus punya tata krama ketika mempercayai bahwa kita dipinjami barang melalui perantara, maka alangkah baiknya pengembaliannya juga melalui perantara sehingga tidak miskomunikasi, ataupun akan lebih baik bahwa yang menjadi perantara juga kita hargai. Itu seperti itu.
Ali Fauzi, born in Dieng, upholds the cultural value in this ritual. He managed to preserve his ancestors' heritage in a more modern way without removing the traditional element of the ritual itself. He initiated the Dieng Culture Festival, an event that could bring many tourists while keep allowing the long ritual process.
Ya, inilah budaya kita yang penuh dengan filosofi yang bagus sekali, di mana kegiatan ritual pencukuran rambut gimbal ini memang panjang sebetulnya. Hanya memang saat ini kita atraksikan puncaknya, tapi perlu saya jelaskan apa sih yang panjang itu. Tentunya dimulai dengan acara Napak Tilas. Napak Tilas ada di beberapa tempat, bahkan hampir lebih dari 20 tempat. Ini adalah konsep dari pelestarian lingkungan sebetulnya, di mana para pemangku adat, pemangku budaya, tokoh masyarakat yang terlibat dalam Napak Tilas ini adalah berkunjung beberapa tempat yang dianggap sakral atau dianggap harus dihargai, karena dampak dari hidupnya lingkungan di satu tempat itu akan membeli siklus kehidupan yang ada di bumi ini. Katakanlah ke satu mata air yang dianggap sakral, karena mata air itu tentu harus kita survei, harus kita lihat, harus kita hargai pohon-pohon di sekitarnya. Karena pohon yang bagus, mata air yang bagus tentu akan memberikan efek kehidupan yang baik untuk manusia sendiri. Jadi ini Napak Tilas selama beberapa hari dengan 20 tempat adalah bagaimana hubungan manusia dengan sekitarnya, manusia dengan manusia ini harus terjalin secara harmonis. Nah, selain memang hubungan dengan Sang Maha Pencipta sebagai pencipta alam semesta ini menjadi kunci bahwa mohon maaf, kami tidak menyembah tempat, tetapi kami menghargai tempat. Karena bagaimanapun alam ini sebetulnya mereka bernafas, pohon bernafas, tentu kita harus menghargai ciptaan yang maha kuasa lainnya. Itu seperti itu. 23 tempat itu panjang, ada yang jalan kaki, kecuali yang jauh saat ini mungkin dibantu dengan kendaraan, saya itu jalan kaki. Dan juga para pemangku adat itu melakukan beberapa persyaratan, biasanya berpuasa dan lain-lain. Sekitar 5 hari.
This deeply philosophical ritual of cutting dreadlock is really long. It begins with visiting 20 sacred places. The elders and the community figures involved will visit the places deemed sacred for their impact towards life. It is like preserving the environment. For instance, we visit a sacred water spring. We survey the spring and appreciate the trees around it. In there, we could see how a good water spring can bring good effect to lives, including us human beings. 5 days before ritual, the elders did the prihatin during the visit. The night before the ritual, the dreadlock children will be gathered in a small banquet As a gratitude that the children have arrived at the place of an elder. In the morning, the children will be paraded on a carriage across the village, and the parade is followed by art performances. Meanwhile, the tourists can stay across the Dieng Kulon village area to Suharto Witlam or Dharmasala, because in there, the dreadlock children will undergo a purification ritual. During the previous visits, elders collected water for purification. This purification aims to strip away wickedness from the children. Then, after the purification, the children will be paraded again to Arjuna Temple. In the temple, they will cut the dreadlock of the children one by one. The first cut will be done by the elders, and after that, others can also cut the dreadlock under the guidance of the elders. After that, there will be another gratitude banquet called Pingalah Berkah. Visitors can join the event. Since we prepared a banquet for all people to eat together, as a gratitude to the god for the dreadlock cutting ritual had been done. But the last ritual will be the flowing the dreadlocks.
Anak-anak gimbal. Ini salah satu filosofi sebetulnya. Apapun ketika ada kegiatan yang bertujuan baik, itu alangkah baiknya itu semua dibersihkan. Maka diharapkan juga memakai pakaian yang baik, pakaian yang bagus itu yang kita bersyukur sudah kita fasilitasi biasanya.
Here is a crown for a human, especially woman. It may coincide with the fact that most Mahjong children in Dieng are female. The Mahjong children who have dreadlocks are mostly 2 to 12 years old. For instance, Alita from Wonosobo. Since 2 years old, she had asked the dreadlocks to be cut in Dieng village. She also asked 2 goats.
Ini si Alita sendiri yang minta dari dia.
Alita herself wanted the dreadlocks cutting in Dieng since she was 2 years old. She also wished for 2 goats.
Minta kambing. Dipotong di mana di Dieng?
Permintaannya kok upama telur puyuh satu.
Wishes are specific, such as 1 quail egg. The egg must be 1 and must be from quail. If not fulfilled, the dreadlock will return and condition will worsen.
Like other traditions in Indonesia, this ritual has detailed preparation with full philosophical meaning. For instance, in the parade to Arjuna Temple where the dreadlocks will be cut, there was a cart full of Mahjong children's wishes. There was also another cart with 4 colored tumpeng. Tumpeng is a cone-shaped rice dish with side dishes of vegetables and meat.
Jadi kalau apa tumpeng robjong itu bahwa rambut gimbal itu kan seperti padi contoh itu. Nah, jadi ada gembel padi, ada.
So, tumpeng rojong means that the dreadlock is like rice. There is dreadlock that is like rice. Another is like sheep wool. Meanwhile, various colors also have meanings. Green means fertility for agriculture or trade. White means purity, that we live our life honestly without doing bad things. Those are the main symbols.
Bahwa kita hidup di dunia ini kan harus menjalankan yang apa adanya, jalan yang lurus, tidak usah nikang-nikung kayak gitu. Jadi itu termasuk simbol yang paling utama. Kalau
itu simbol paling.
Itu yang berwarna putih gitu.
Another detail about dreadlocks cutting ritual is that it always held during dry season, where the temperatures in Dieng Hill fell to 4 degrees Celsius. The meeting between hot and cold mountain air created mist across the hill since dawn. But then, when the ritual began, the mist will be replaced by warm sunlight, and the ritual begins.
Dulu antara.
kalau minta
duit. Preserving tradition when advanced technologies invading millennial generation is not easy. However, the awareness of Dieng people on the value of their tradition proves that tradition can coexist with modernization.
Come on, we can move together. Come on.
can sing together. Come on, we can move together. Come on, let the funk scatter. Come on, party on forever.
Today's Music Corner presents a traditional song from Palembang, South Sumatra, Indonesia, entitled Kerupuk Batok or Batok Crackers. The lyrics of Kerupuk Batok highlight Palembang's tourism and cuisines. It pictures the bustling Musi River banks where people gather to eat while boats pass by. Although it's called Kerupuk Batok, which is crackers in Indonesian, the song also mentions various Palembang specialties such as pempek or fish cake, srikaya, rujak mie, tekwan, and many more. These unique flavors create unforgettable memories for visitors in Palembang. Well, listener, here is the traditional song from Palembang, South Sumatra, Indonesia, entitled Kerupuk Batok by Putri. Happy listening.
Malam Kasalami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasalami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasalami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or coat to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in teak or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called kagepe. To make kasalami, initially kagepe is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the kagepe, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with kagepe flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasalami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasalamis. Kasalami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasalami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasalami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasalami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
VOI listener, today's Music Corner presents a traditional song from West Kalimantan entitled Alok Galing Lasong Laban. It is a song from Sambas Regency. This song often accompanies a dance called Alok Galing. Alok Galing itself is a term for traditional rice pounding tool of Sambas people. The lyrics of the song contain expressions of happiness of the Sambas people during harvest time, making amping a Sambas specialty. Amping is made from roasted rice, then pounded using pestle and mortar. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Alok Galing Lasong Laban by Sumastika S. and Friska Suryana.
Let's Colenak Special Culinary from Bandung. Colenak itself is an abbreviation of dicocol or dipped in palm sugar syrup and enak or delicious. Thus, Colenak means dipped and delicious. Initially, the culinary which has been around since the beginning of the 20th century was not called Colenak, but peyem di gulaan or sugar-coated fermented cassava. Indeed, Colenak is quite simple. The main ingredient is tape or fermented cassava. So the sour cassava is mixed together with sugar, brown sugar and coconut. Then it is roasted. The palm sugar syrup is mixed with grated coconut, no preservatives, mind you.
Debar melihat dia selangkah di depanmu. Jangan terdiam, jangan membisu, ungkapkan isi hatimu.
Betapa mata jelaskan ada getar hatinya. Takkan lama menunggu
semesta cinta.
Going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangsong. Besides wudung yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as keying, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, Geseng Bangsong can be found at Witwitan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste Geseng Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snake, such as tiwu and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Pradela. Thank you for listening.
In remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
nothing is for real.
Digital with New Look, various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as live, comments and share, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
cinta selain dirimu.
Digital with New Look, various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcast, live radio broadcast, music playlist, podcast, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as live, comments and share, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound. Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to the news on Voice of Indonesia. These are the headlines. Indonesia and Australia launch joint proposal call on energy transition. President Prabowo Subianto announces policies for Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr 2025. I am Ahmad Faisal and this is the news in detail. Indonesia and Australia launched a joint call for proposals in Jakarta on Wednesday as part of the Indonesia-Australia Knowledge Partnership or CONNEXI. The proposal focuses on a just energy transition in Indonesia. Deputy Minister for Higher Education, Science and Technology Fauzan said that the CONNEXI program, which started in 2023, aligns with the ongoing mission of the Ministry of Education, Science and Technology.
Program ini saya kira inline dengan apa yang digagas dan menjadi misi di Kemendikti Saintek, yakni transformasi pendidikan.
I believe this program aligns with the goals of the Ministry of Higher Education, Science and Technology, which aims to transform higher education. We hope that higher education in Indonesia will address key national issues and connect to support the efforts of the ministry.
Supporting terhadap ikhtiar kuat yang dilakukan oleh Kemendikti Saintek.
Meanwhile, the start the fairs of Australia to Indonesia, Gita Kamat highlighted that both governments are jointly funding research collaborations through the proposal call, and she emphasized their commitment to supporting inclusive and sustainable development. President Prabowo Subianto has outlined various policies for Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr 2025, including the holiday allowance and 13th month salary for 9.3 million public servants. More details are provided by Dora Pardede.
Recognizing the high levels of mobility and increased consumption during Ramadan and the Eid al-Fitr holiday in 2025, the Indonesian government has introduced a series of policies to assist the public. This was announced by President Prabowo Subianto at the Merdeka Village in Jakarta on Tuesday. Prabowo revealed that one of the measures is the provision of the holiday allowance and the 13th month salary for 9.4 million civil servants, including state civil apparatus, government employees with work agreements, judges, soldiers from the Indonesian National Army, the police, and retirees, as outlined in Government Regulation Number 11 of 2025. The President expressed hope that these policies will help the public manage their needs during the homecoming and the Eid al-Fitr holiday.
I hope that this policy can help manage needs during the homecoming and especially during Eid holiday.
President Prabowo further explained that the amount of the holiday allowance and 13th month salary for state employees will cover their basic salary, inherent allowances, and performance allowances, all of which will be given at 100% for central government civil servants, TNI Polri personnel, and judges. For regional government employees, the benefit will follow the same structure as the central government, but will be adjusted according to the fiscal capacity of each region. The President also mentioned that the holiday allowance for government employees will be disbursed 2 weeks before Eid al-Fitr starting on Monday, March 17, 2025. Previously, the government had introduced several additional policies, including a reduction in airfare prices by 13-14% for the 2 weeks of the Eid al-Fitr holiday, discount on toll road fees and transportation fares during the mudik period, as well as holiday allowances. For private sector employees, state-owned enterprises, regional-owned enterprises, and holiday bonuses for online driver and couriers. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
The Financial Services Authority of Indonesia stops thousands of illegal financial entities. Ofra has the story.
The head of the Financial Services Business Behavior Supervision, Education and Consumer Protection at the Financial Services Authority of Indonesia, Frederica Widyasari Dewi, on Tuesday announced that the task force for eradicating illegal financial activities has shut down over 4,000 illegal entities across various websites and applications between January 1, 2024 and February 28, 2025. Its action was taken in response to over 17,000 public complaints about illegal investments and online loans.
Di Satgas Pasti ini,
from January 1st to February 28th, we have identified and shut down 4,036 illegal financial entities including 3,517 illegal online lending platforms and 519 illegal investment offers, which could harm the public.
Frederica also noted that the Financial Services Authority of Indonesia has blocked more than 100 bank accounts used for illegal transactions and over 1,300 phone numbers or WhatsApp accounts. These measures demonstrate the government's commitment to eradicating harmful illegal financial practices. The authority continues to urge the public to be cautious of unregistered and unlicensed investment offers and online loans.
The Speaker of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, welcomed a state visit from the Secretary General of the Communist Party of Vietnam, Tho Lam, at the Parliament Complex in Jakarta on Tuesday. The meeting aimed to strengthen bilateral cooperation between the two countries in various fields. In her official statement to the media, which was aired on the Parliament's YouTube channel, Puan emphasized that the relationship between Indonesia and Vietnam has been strong since 1955. Both countries share the same vision of becoming developed nations by 2045. She noted that the Indonesian Parliament is ready to enhance diplomacy with Vietnam, particularly in sectors like economics, trade, public relations, defense, and regional stability.
Dan beliau menyampaikan bahwa hubungan ini sudah berjalan dimulai dengan satu modal yang sangat baik, yaitu hubungan baik antara kedua founding father.